Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Today, we're going to cover Midnight Gospel on Netflix, Part 2. Part 2, meaning the second half of the first season. We covered the first half of the first season already on Part 1. As if you didn't know that already, you already know this. We talked about Dr. Drew Pinsky. He was a naughty boy. We talked about Damian Eccles. And we talked about the occult symbolism, the Abraxas, the Gnostics, Crowley, high magic, low magic, Knights Templar. My God. My God. What have we done? Well, I know what we're going to do. We're going to talk about part two, where we will cover... Oh, man, what are we going to cover? There's, like, some real sad stuff on the second half. Jason Love, he's the magic guy. And, we're just going to get into it. There's lots of stuff to talk about, and we're going to wrap up. Is Duncan Trussell Illuminate confirmed? Oh, my God. Oh, no. Say it ain't so. Say it ain't so. Anyways, that's enough rambling. Let's get into it. Let us... And I will assume you've listened to the first part, so we don't need to retread over the same territory of magic and the occult and all that stuff. But, and we're going to have a little special something going on today. Halfway through the show, I'm going to do a new bit. Conspiracy considerations and what it is. Okay, let me tell you what this is. We're going to have one of the audience... come on and kick knowledge to me. And this is reserved for my highest supporters, Patreon tier 4 or VIP section tier 4. Links in the show notes. You already know the whole script. But the people that support at that level, they can come onto the show and for about 5, maybe 10 minutes, you can talk about whatever you want. You can talk about the conspiracies you like. You can talk about the conspiracy stuff that I'm missing that I don't talk about enough. You can explain whatever it is you want to explain. And look, that's a very low price for the size of audience. Not to talk business, because you don't care about the business side of the show business. But you could be hitting, you know, we hit 20,000 to 30,000 listens per episode. You want to fill up Madison Square Garden and give them 5 minutes of your time? Well, here's how you do it. Here's the thing. I thought this would be a really cool way for me to get to know my community a little better and bring them up on stage, as it were. So we're going to do that halfway through the show. It'll be a little break, and it's going to be a good time. We're going to talk with our guest today on Conspiracy Considerations. He's going to talk to us about the Baphomet. So, stay tuned for that. Now, let's get back into Midnight Gospel on Netflix with Duncan Trussell, Episode 4. Because we already covered the first three on Part 1. And this is a lot of talk about, you know, forgiveness and the... mindful meditation stuff, like setting your intention for the universe to meet your energy, has flavors of the hermeticism of as above, so below, which is an alchemical principle. The god of the Hermes, the god of knowledge there and magic, aka Thoth, he supposedly, down during the time of Zeptepi, when the gods walked amongst us, gave man the secret wisdom, the secret knowledge. Some say these are on the emerald tablets that have been hidden from humanity, from the great flood, and this holds all the secrets, the esoteric wisdom needed to enlighten man to unlock the inner God potential. And one of these axioms that drop from that secret wisdom is as above, so below, meaning the universe can be used in conformance with the will of the magician. But, you know, this doesn't apply to every single person that gets into mindful meditation. But mindfulness, they argue, is necessary to communicate. So, you know, it's all about monitoring the inner, monitoring your awareness, your inner state, your emotions, which is all very good stuff. However, when you're treading into the realms of the occult and the esoteric, the people that explore the idea of becoming God would say that you need to do this from within. I'm actually talking about this right now. As you know, I'm writing my book, Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Use Your Illusion 2, which is all about different films and symbolism found within them. And right now, I'm typing up a chapter on The Prince of Darkness. Yes, quite possibly the greatest horror movie of all time. John Carpenter, living legend. Is he still alive? Yeah, he's still alive. But anyway, the way out is from within. And they talk about how meditation is a good practice for death. And Clancy, who is the character, because it's a cartoon, right? In case you didn't listen to part one, Duncan Trussell plays this character, Clancy. Well, he gets back home from going on this trip to the other realms, and the computer tells him that he had an avatar that could experience the full ecstasy of death, which is a very curious statement. This is Aleister Crowley talked about this stuff, saying death is the ultimate orgasm. Very strange, right? But episode 4 is pretty good, you know, talking about meditation and death, keeping in contact with the people close to you. It's a good episode. All these are good episodes, all of them. And I'm not going to go through every single symbol you see throughout, because there's tons of symbols in the whole series. Duncan Trussell knows a thing or two about a thing or two in the realm of the occult, okay? Now, is he Illuminati confirmed? That's the big question. I don't know the guy. But we'll address that in the conclusion. And I'm going to, plot spoiler, you're not going to get a real firm answer out of me. Whoa. Jason Louvre, episode 5. This is one of my favorite episodes, called Annihilation of Joy. And the whole thing is talking about how our souls are all connected in this cosmic consciousness.
Wait, you were talking about...
Hindu theory, Indra's net.
Right.
So the concept is that all the consciousnesses in the world are connected. Imagine like a giant net, like a glowing blue net in infinity.
Like a quilt?
No, more like a net. The Hindu view on this is that it's the nodes that are important, right? And the points on the net, the connections between the lines, those are consciousnesses, right? Those are Atmans.
Yes.
And the Atman is conscious. It is consciousness, and each individual consciousness is God.
Yes.
And in its own way is the totality.
It's the soul of a butterfly, the soul of a single-celled organism, a bacteria, to the soul of, like, the Dalai Lama, to the soul of some as-of-yet uncontacted, hyper-intelligent, through the gods themselves. Like,
yes.
It's like every soul is, like, photons coming out of the sun.
Right. So the Buddha looks at Indra's net, and it's basically the same topography, but he says, it's not the nodes, it's the connections.
cool,
right.
Cool, yeah.
So, this is the diagnostics of the Buddha, right? It's like we think we exist and therefore we suffer.
Now here's the thing. This is the idea of perennialism. A lot of the geopolitical globalist type folks subscribe to this idea. If you or from the Christian standpoint, Father Seraphim Rose warns about this, the ecumenicism of it, of being like, well, you know, all the gods come from the same source. Jesus was just one embodiment of God. That is it. When in the Orthodoxy Christian faith, it's like, no, like Jesus Christ was God. That was it. He's the only one. Case closed. Everything else is a distraction to get you off the true path to salvation. And look, I don't know. What do I know? I am a Christian, but I am on the scale closer to agnostic than, full-blown, let's picket and riot against gays and abortions and all that stuff. Because, look, I don't know. I just don't know. I've never had a lot of people in the Christian faith, they pray to God and they think God talks to them. And I'm like, wow, I wish I had that clarity. I've been very blessed. I live a very blessed life. There's a million things that could have, you know, like, think about that, right? Like, there's a million things that could be worse about your life. So we got to praise God, thank God for giving us what we've got, which ironically is what the Buddha taught us too. It's your attachment to wanting something that you don't have that keeps you in a lower state. But in this episode, they're talking about this net, about how we're all connected, and the Hindu theory of the Indra's net, which sounds very close to the internet, right? Which is where they're taking us with the transhumanism. They will connect us all in the digital consciousness. I don't know if you listen to the show I do with Mrs. Weishaupt. You really should. It's called Breaking Social Norms. Listen to it for free. We broke down transhumanism, and I've got a lot of great feedback on the most recent episode. Because a lot of people get confused when I talk about this transhuman stuff. And the beauty of the show I did with Mrs. Weishaupt is she stops me. She slows me down when I start ranting and riffing. And she's like, whoa, stop with that nonsense. What are you talking about right now? And it's a real basic primer. So if you haven't listened to it, go to Breaking Social Norms on your little podcast app and check that one out. And like and subscribe as always. You always like and subscribe, don't you? But Indra's net is this Hindu theory that all the consciousnesses are connected through this net, and that there are nodes that connect the mesh together. Now, these nodes are very important. These are the points of consciousness, the Atmans. And each consciousness is part of the structure. Thus, each one is God. Thus, every man is God. Because we're all connected in this together. And Buddha looks at the net and says, it's not about the nodes. It's about the connections. And Buddha thinks these separate points, these points of, I don't know, individuation, these sort of like build the ego, right? And make us think we exist. Which then introduces suffering. See, I mean, these are huge concepts. We're going to gloss over them. But these are very interesting ideas. But we think we are separate because we're the nodes, which contributes to the grand illusion and suffering, because the ego then wants to take that separation, you know, do all kinds of stuff and make you think you're an idiot or whatever. And maybe you are, right? Maybe you're an idiot. And that's okay. We all fall short of the glory of God, right? Okay, but the truth is, there's no individual, there's no separate being in this Buddhist philosophy. They call this non-essentiality, non-existence. And then they clarify to say this is not nihilism, because nihilism says that nothing is real. So that's an important qualification to make. But they are saying there's no true thing. Nothing really exists. This is the illusion of, they call it Maya sometimes. When the truth is we're all connected, we're all one. We're all gods. We're all people connected together. And look, I'm no theologian. I'm sure there's fine points I'm missing on this whole thing. You could clearly dive much deeper on these topics. Then, let's see, Jason Liu tells us that he did sex on DMT on December 21st, 2012. Very curious date. If you recall, that was the day the Anunnaki were supposed to be here. That never happened. Or it did happen and we're all dead. Who knows? And he says, whilst making sexy time on DMT, he experienced the fundamental nothingness of the non-essentiality. The French call the orgasm little death. But death is the big orgasm, because it's the relinquishment of the self. And since the self doesn't exist, what does that mean? just means we come to full enlightenment. We understand that we are all connected and we can let go of this attachment to the suffering. And then they talk about some meditation, Buddhist meditation. You sit with a feeling, like if there's, you know, a feeling of, I don't know, anger, whatever. They say anger is a secondary emotion. What's a good one? Shame. You feeling some shame? One you've been trying to escape? You sit with it until it changes on its own. You stare at it through your mind's eye. And you wake up to this being an illusion. This is what Byron Katie walks you through step by step in her, what's it called, four questions or whatever. This is the idea of you look at something from multiple perspectives until it takes the sting away. This is like exposure therapy. Sometimes when you simply focus your attention on something, it will go away just by looking at it. It's kind of like the inverse of Schrodinger's cat. That famous idea of quantum physics where it's like, okay, there's this cat in this box full of radiation that is going to kill the cat. Is the cat alive or dead? Even though you can't see inside that box. Well, you don't know. You would say, well, he's dead. No, he's not. The cat is in, and I don't want to assume the cat's gender here. He or she is in a state of superposition, alive and dead at the same time. Until the observer effect takes over and you open that box and you're like, yeah, this cat's dead. He or she is dead. Gender's a construct, by the way. So is race. Did you know that? Biologically, there's no such thing as... I'm sorry. Biologically, there's a male and a female. But biologically, there is no such thing as race. And the idea of a man or a woman is created by society. So when they get us fighting over which pronoun we want to use, it's all bullshit. All of it's bullshit. None of it matters. Which points us to Indra's net. It says, none of this matters. We're all connected. We're all human beings. We're trying to divide and conquer us, Illuminati. And in the episode, and I'm there's a lot of big ideas in this episode. I'm just pulling out the big ones. We're constantly trying to tweak ourselves, right? Trying to get our Instagram game up. Trying to get our beauty contest on or whatever. But the Buddhists compare this to adding experience points to a game that doesn't exist. It's like virtual reality. And you keep trying to tweak your avatar. Like, what a waste of time. It's all just a game. And we want to stay locked into the game. And we want to repeat things that have already happened. Why are we doing this to ourselves? The mind is like a program. And you burn these, they call it neuroplasticity. Or was it synaptic plasticity? You know what I'm saying. Neurons that fire together, wire together. And like you keep reliving this trauma. You keep looking for the same trauma over and over and over. It's exhausting. Maybe that's why they say death is a big orgasm. You let it all go. You're like, who cares? I don't care anymore. I'm dead. The fact that nothing is permanent and everything dies is the source of great suffering. Until the nerds come through with the transhumanism and make us live forever. Once you accept things are hopeless, you just like, look, I'm going to die. I guess that happens. You don't need to hope anymore. And guess who talked about this? The great philosopher, Charles Manson. I said it. He was talking about prison cells. He's like, look, the way to get out of the prison cell, you have to stop wanting to be out. He knew about a little bit of Buddhist philosophy. Charles Manson is probably the most intriguing person to ever, walk the planet. I don't know. That's a bold statement. But he said a lot of really interesting things. I mean, he was kind of a whacked out, bugged out dude, but he wasn't that stupid. Crazy. Not stupid. Episode 6. They talk more about meditation. They love the meditation. They just call it the meditation gospel. Let's take a listen.
Here we go.
The moment I just accepted where I was, instead of wishing I was somewhere else, everything just got better.
Fantastic.
It's like, for a second, my thoughts weren't much of anything. Like, I just was.
Oops.
Is that normal?
Yes. You see, Duncan.
Clancy.
Oh, okay. If you're caught up in your story, it's like living in a tiny apartment with just enough room for you and your little mattress. The moment you get a little space between yourself and your thoughts, it's like moving into a much bigger house.
This time they've got guest David Nickturn. Probably pronounced that wrong. Sorry, David Nickturn. And he's talking about how we fill our minds with stories. It's like having a crowded apartment or you're hoarding. You keep packing more in there. Next thing you know, you're sitting on a mound of diapers, taking a dump in a bucket. This is another Buddhist teaching. Again, Byron Katie was the one. You know, I approached all these things not from the religious standpoint, but from self-help stuff. And only did I later find out these were all Buddhist philosophies. I thought, man, Buddhism joins off the hook as a philosophy. Now, I got to ask my priest about that. He'd probably tell me it's bad. I don't know. Who knows what he would say? I should ask him. I should go to church again. Haven't been too regular, okay? Now, if you're jammed in there too tight in your hoarder apartment with all your diapers and dead cats and poop buckets, there's no room to let other people in. Now you can have no one else in your life. And what he means by that metaphorically is you have to be able to accept other people, hear their experience, and listen to them and let them in. But if you're like too jammed up with stories and diapers, you don't have the bandwidth to do it. And that was the big takeaway from episode 6. A very powerful idea. Today we've got a very special segment I started called Conspiracy Considerations. I wanted to get in touch with the community a bit more. And what I did was I unlocked tier 4 on patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher and the IlluminatiWatcher.com VIP section. And tier 4 basically gets you all the benefits of tier 1, tier 2, tier 3, which is a ton of books and all kinds of stuff. But tier 4, which is limited in number, I've only got 5 slots on Patreon. IlluminatiWatcher.com's VIP section, I can't actually put a limit on, but let's just hope 100 people don't sign up, which I doubt they will, because it's the highest tier. But with that highest tier, you get to be a part of the show. Yeah, you are now part of the show. This is like an extra mega shout out, because what I'm going to do is you and I are going to set up a little phone call, see? And I'm going to give you 5 minutes, maybe 10, we'll see. We're going to give you 5 to 10 minutes. And this is going to be once a month per supporter. And during that time slot, you've got a lot of options here. But the gist is you and your opinions, thoughts, maybe a conspiracy you think that I'm neglecting, that everyone's neglecting. Whatever idea you've got, you get to share that with the entire audience, which is a pretty big audience. The options here is you could either send me a typed up sort of script that I can read within that time spot, or you yourself can be on a phone call with me and we'll record the conversation, or you can send me the MP3 file and I'll put it in here. But the point being, your voice, your ideas are going to be spread amongst the entire community, and it's going to be a beautiful thing. And today I'm very honored. A longtime great supporter, Southside Tarot, he's going to share with us some of his ideas, because I know he had a lot of interesting ideas. And he's going to share us some ideas about the Baphomet. And yeah, get ready, strap in, because he's going to hit you with the fire hose. All right, let's go. Well, Jordan, you're the my first stab at an idea that I had. I don't know if it's going to take off or not. A tier four idea to keep the... Because I thought, you know, it'd be real interesting to get the listeners' ideas out here somehow. So I thought we'll do like a, you know, 5 to 10 minute sort of... I don't know. You can express your ideas of conspiracies and what you think the community is missing, maybe, or maybe something you like.
Yeah,
it's kind of
yeah,
your floor to take whatever you want. So,
okay. Well, I mean, I think for folks who are, I guess, in the truth movement or whatever you want to call it, getting a hold of what Baphomet really is, because if you look at it as the picture and say, okay, what's an up of devil or something like that, or a hermaphrodite, it's taking an occult approach to it and trying to figure out what it really means. And from my investigation into the occult, I guess if you could call it that, being a tarot reader, I think it's common practice. Well, there's kind of two paths that I found for tarot people. There's the spiritual people that say, this is what I believe in. And then there's the occult people that approach it more as a theosophist kind of scientific philosophy approach. And that's my approach. And in doing that, you at least become aware of ordered peoples, and you could call them secret societies, but I usually refer to them as ordered because that's the main thing about them. And that's how they excel, you know, the Masonic, the fraternal, the Catholic, all the different types of orders, because there's this, you know, understanding that hard work pays off. And that's basically what Baphomet is. It's like a push up. you go down first and then you push up.
What does that mean? So, what does that mean with the Baphomet? Cause like, you know, just for me to sort of erase any ideas I have of the Baphomet, and to just for the common sort of person, they would say, what are you talking about, dude? Like, it's a goat with boobs, man.
Well, you know, if I were to explain it to like my kids or something of the sort, I would say that if you want, so I may have mentioned this before, you know, my daughter wants a horse, and a horse sounds great, but you have to understand that a horse takes a lot of work, and you have to kind of earn it. You have to, you know, understand that if you want big, you have to give big. And Baphomet, you push down to go up, right? Jack Parsons, How Do Rockets Work? You push down to go up. And I think for most folks that are in, you know, ordinary lives, they understand, oh, all right, if I want something, it's going to take a lot of work. And if I want a lot, it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of sacrifice. Mm-hmm. But there is I think there's a part of Baphomet that's related to psychedelics in that you dwindle yourself down to the most basic consciousness, the primal fire, whatever you want to call it. And that's usually found from what I've, again, poking around in places where people say, you're not a member, so please leave. but ordeal type initiations seem to be what's universal, taking yourself and putting yourself through an arduous, sometimes sexual, right? I mean, that's not unheard of, at least amongst the Templars and the Masons. But all of them seem to have I'm going to whittle myself down to nothing and then build up so much bigger from that nothing.
Okay. From like a basic... That's kind of like the Baphomet's alchemy message of dissolve and then coagulate. Is that
Yeah, I similar? Mean, so... You could do it by like hiking a mountain by yourself, or you know, taking DMT. But what you're searching for is a sort of primal consciousness that Stephen Greer might call God consciousness, or other people may call that as well. That okay, I'm awake and I'm alive, and you build up from there. But in our society, doesn't seem to be something people strive for. It's more about let's make life as easy as possible, where on the other hand, the people that seem to excel or in leadership in the society, they're all ordered peoples that know the Baphomet very well, if I'm accurate in what the Baphomet is.
Could you and I know we're talking 5 minutes here and we're already hitting that, but when you say when someone climbs a mountain, could you explain what you mean by that? When they climb a mountain, they find their primal fire? I don't really understand.
Well, so, I mean, okay, you were in the military, right?
Yes.
So people in the military go through a boot camp, and what that is a lot of physical and, you know, probably emotional strain to whittle yourself down to something very, very basic. So when I say climb a mountain, I mean, obviously that could be a metaphor for other things, and it is, but also getting yourself to where, okay, it's only me, and then in that aesthetic activity or exercise, that's when maybe the head of John the Baptist is found, where they, you know, they say that you're on top of the world mountain, you look down, you know, this is my world, so there's a responsibility to it. So this is kind of seeing, so looking at yourself, and I can get a little bit into the Kabbalah here, but in the top three, Sephiroth, the Bina, Hakma, and Keter, the looking at, okay, my approach or disposition towards this thing is me being kind of a third, looking at myself as kind of like third person, like the person in my experience, what would be expected of someone in my life, what would they do? It's kind of an alien approach to looking at it, or, you know, it's very Jewish mysticism-y.
Yeah. Okay. Well, interesting. Thank you for sharing that idea of the Baphomet. It sounds to me like this is a little bit, maybe you take the approach of the Baphomet as a, dare I say, source of inspiration, perhaps, for occultists that may follow this sort of thing.
That could be right, but also, and this ties into politics as professional wrestling, that if people are practicing Baphomet, there is a little bit of, okay, if I say that I am pro a certain group and I'm a Baphomet person, then maybe what I'm doing is actually trying to harm that group in order to make it stronger. And that can be a little bit more controversial. But so, for example, if a Baphomet person is a part of Black Lives Matter, their interest would be to make Black lives have more suffering, to make them stronger. Now, I'm not saying that's what they're doing, but if people kind of become aware of Baphomet secondhand, it might be a different perspective of looking at what's going on in the world.
Oh,
you know?
Interesting. Interesting.
So if someone is very, very pro LGBTQ, but they're Baphomet, Masonic, whatever, then they might actually be trying to make lives harder for LGBTQ people.
Okay. So we could even talk like on a global scale.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe there's people interested in this Baphomet idea and sort of pushing humanity to the, you know, find its inner primal fire. So they're like, okay, we're going to have this war on terrorism. And then next it's like, okay, we're going to have this virus and everyone's going to be pushed to their breaking point in the idea that we're compressing these springs so that in the end we can come out the other side more resilient and stronger.
I think that's part of it, but you know, the whole when you declare war on something, it seems to make it stronger. You declare war on drugs, and drugs became a much bigger problem in society. It seemed like the same with war on terror. You know, terrorism was a thing, and then it became a war on terrorism, and then now it's you know, it's what we're doing for 20 some odd years. So I think that pushing against something does make it stronger, but if someone says, let's all fight something, what they might be really saying is, let's make this thing stronger.
Interesting.
when we have a war on racism, maybe what we're doing is strengthening racism.
Is this like a dark art then, to worship the Baphomet and these kind of practices?
I live in an off-grid yurt, so I'm following a Baphomet type of life. It's hard as hell, and it's cold all the time. And I think one of the reasons why I'm doing that is to strengthen myself. And, you know, I have a family, and there's several buildings here, too, so there's different components to it. But the life that me and my family are leading is more of a, maybe it's harder in some ways, but more spiritually rewarding in other ways. So hardship, spirituality seems to be found in hardship per the ordered peoples. So I think that looking at hardship in a different way, because right now it seems to be about look at hardship and give me sympathy or something like that.
Interesting. Well, you really walk the walk, my friend. And now, before we go, are there any, and I'm going to spring this on here, are there any books that you would recommend to people? It sounds like you've read a lot of occult type studies. Are there any really great books, maybe for beginners, or great books for people looking for specifics on Baphomet, or, you know, I don't know, any inspirational kind of books that you've read that you'd recommend?
I mean, you know, I could do two. One is a shameless plug for my own book.
Oh, okay.
8 Faces of the Goddess. I wrote it under a pseudonym, which is, you know, a goofy thing, but it's got a meaning to it. But I mean, a realistic, you know, kind of real answer to that would be The Divine Comedy by Dante, because the whole thing seems to be about what happens when you push a certain way. Something else is going to push back in a different way. And the entire Inferno, Purgatorio, and Paradiso is about, all right, in the beginning, you're wanting good, so you got to be bad. Then it's very much a push in energy in different directions, which is a very basic understanding of Baphomet. And I can't think of a better book that I've read than all three of, you know, in the Divine Comedy. It's a little tricky, and it's, you know, obviously written 1,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. But that would be top of my list.
Nice, dude. Okay, I'll definitely pick your book up, that's for sure. All right, do you have any social medias you want to shout out, or any websites or anything like that?
I'm on Instagram, so that's where folks can find the website and stuff. But yeah, I'm not super active on it, but I basically just do readings to see what happens in the real world. It's more of a personal experiment. But that's where I am. I don't have a Facebook. Mm-hmm. My website, southsidetarot.com. So.
Oh, okay. southsidetarot.com. And IG is, at southsidetarot?
Yeah.
Okay. Got it, brother. All right, man. Thanks for your time.
All right. Hey, appreciate it, man.
All right. What'd you think of that? That's the first segment of the first iteration of the Conspiracy Considerations. It would be a regular recurring part of the show. And you can check out Jordan at southsidetarot.com or on Instagram at southsidetarot. You can get his book, 8 Faces of the Goddess, on southsidetarot.com. And I'll put the link in the show notes, as always. And yeah, check it out. If you want to be a part of the show, you want to go beyond just the Tier 2 shout-out, the Tier 2 and 3 shout-out, you want to go beyond the monthly live streams, you can hit that Tier 4 Conspiracy Considerations. It's a limited number of people. You can spit knowledge at us. Let us know what we're missing, what we need to know, what you think. Maybe you don't have any of that and you just want to say hi to everybody. You want to say, hey, this is what I liked. This is the conspiracies I'm into. And these are the best movies you've ever seen. Maybe you think Britney Spears is the greatest singer of all time. Maybe you think Drake is a much better singer than Michael Jackson. I don't know. Anyway, sign up and you can check it out. Links in the show notes for Patreon and IlluminatiWatcher.com's VIP section. Episode 7, moving right along, called The Turtles of the Turtles of the Eclipse. And there's that turtle talk again. I don't know if you remember the turtle talk. When I interviewed Dr. Pasulka on one of the greatest episodes in conspiracy theory and unpopular culture history, we talked about her book, American Cosmic. And in the book, she's talking to the UFO Invisible College, the secret society of folks talking to these aliens. And there was a whole theme of the turtles, which ties into Stephen King's It as the great creator. And in the interview, he's actually interviewing that mortician from YouTube, Caitlin Doty. Probably pronouncing her name wrong again. Sorry. But I really need to, like, type notes on how to pronounce these names. I just type them. Anyway, he's interviewing Death and trying to get advice on how to deal with it and what happens when we die to the body, of course. And he's interviewing the mortician. They're talking, and what's curious is they hit the elevator, and there's buttons shaped in the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, implying that they are, in fact, traversing the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. I'll put the photo on the Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt. Like and subscribe. Some of you haven't liked and subscribed my Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt. The links are in the show notes. I don't know how you want me to flip this into being an IG influencer if you don't like and subscribe, but that's okay if you don't, I guess. None of it matters, right? I already failed my first lesson of Buddhism there. None of this matters. I want to add points to my avatar for this game of life that doesn't matter. So anyway, they're in the elevator. And, you know, these shows are hard to... It's hard to sort of watch and listen and take notes because it's, like, so bizarre. Like, the tree goes down a water slide with Clancy. I mean, it's so strange. Then, like, a black cube goes up to the heavens with a gate with the tree, and then past this tarot card of the magician guy. Oh, my goodness. Now, I was curious about the black cube because Tracy Twyman talked about this in her communications with the spirits of Lucifer and Cain, about how the black and the white cube will meet up in the skies to bring about the end of time. I don't know if Duncan Trussell's trying to bring that about. Who knows? But the black cube, of course, symbolic of Saturn. Ironically, death is the, you know, with the Grim Reaper and the scythe, that is symbolic of Saturn as well. Then, like, it goes past Adam and Eve and Eden with the serpent coiled around the tree. And, you know, and there's all these theories about the Tree of Life and the Garden of Eden. You know, was it the tree of knowledge? Was it the tree with the knowledge of life and death? Did the serpent come and say to Adam and Eve, like, hey, look, I'm going to teach you how to be like gods? All these different ideas. Of immortality, of course. How can we shed this prison planet, the skin suit, and achieve this higher level of dimension that these ascended masters go to? Do we even want to do that? Now, episode 8. Clancy. Oh, is this the last episode? Yeah, this is the last one. Oh boy, if you haven't made it through the series, you got to make it to this one. Because Duncan Trussell interviews his now deceased mother, and they're talking about his childhood and the aging process, and oh man, tearjerker city. Clancy experiences pregnancy after talking to his mother about it. I mean, don't even watch this one. You're gonna cry your eyes out when you come to the realization and understanding that, like, this conversation happened before she passed away in real life. This is the one that, if you listen to Tinfoil Hat, as you should, Sam Tripoli had Duncan on, was it last summer? And I remember I was outside, I had my AirPods on, I was doing some yard work, and oh man, it was tough. This toxic masculinity wanted to keep the tears inside where they belong, and I couldn't get the job done. Was crying like a little baby with a skinned knee. Terrible, terrible. Anyways, not terrible. That's the toxic masculinity inside of me. But yeah, you got to watch this Midnight Gospel episode, and you got to listen to that one with Duncan Trussell on Tinfoil Hat, because, ooh, powerful stuff. Anyway, she's talking about all these interesting ideas, accepting death, about getting sad, and inquiring into hurt, into painful feelings, and finding love.
It's just like, it's just so intense. This experience of love energy is so powerful that to combat against it, we build an entire life, an entire ego to try to not feel it.
Yes.
It's just so overwhelming.
It is. It's a killer. It's ego death.
Yeah. Not desirable.
It is desirable, and that's why it hurts. It's ego death. Your heart cracks open and your ego is dying.
Right.
But you find that ego death is a transfiguration. It's an alchemical transfiguration.
Yeah, because, yeah, who wants to carry around this fucking... Wait.
You don't.
We are talking about this ego death, right? An ego death? Because we talked about the ego earlier. Like, the ego is the source of the suffering, according to the Buddhist. That's my very rough understanding. That's the point in the node of Indra's net, right? Like, you think you're individuated, but really we're all the same. And that's the ego that does that, that handles that work. I've talked about this before. You've got, like, the three parts of the mind, according to, I don't know if it's Jung or Freud. You got the sort of inner reptilian desires, the id. That's where the libido comes from, libido. Then you got the ego. Then you got the superego. And the ego is the mediator between the superego and the id. And it sort of like takes the social constructs of what's acceptable and what is not. It sort of mediates between the reptile version that wants to like be all, you know, self-serving, and the superego, which is like the community person. It's like, we're all in this together kind of guy, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it's not a good way of explaining that. But they talk about ego death as the alchemical transfiguration and open up your heart, destroying the ego, which Crowley talked about when he talks about crossing the abyss. The idea of crossing, and this gets really bizarre real quick. You got that tree of life, right? Well, on that tree of life, there's a hidden realm called Deoth. And the initiate attempts to cross Deoth and get to the other side. And in the process, it destroys the ego. And all that's left is the divine Kabbalistic spark. Don't ask me. It's an ego death thing. I'm sure there's like some metaphor in there. All I know is that I cried watching this episode the second time. I wasn't even paying attention to the damn thing, really. It's worse than The Notebook. It's worse than... You know what happened? You know what? Let me tell you a story here. Mrs. Weishaupt... I don't remember what year. I think I just got back from being overseas in the military. And she had already seen The Notebook. I don't really watch that kind of stuff, but she took me to the theater to watch The Notebook. I don't want to tell this. And you know the end scene. I don't want to spoil the plot if you haven't seen it, but there's a scene at the end that'll break you. And I was stuffing those tears inside like a real man. And I couldn't stop it anymore, and the dam broke, and I was in the middle of this quiet theater. I started blubbering real loud. Oh, it was terrible. Anyhow, on this show, on Midnight Gospel, it ends with this cool little homage to Ram Dass, who actually died in December 2019, with his famous "Be Here Now" from the book. And so overall, great show. Are there some occult ideas in there? Absolutely. We've got these alchemical ideas. We've got the ego idea. We got the symbolism of the Tree of Life. You got freaking Damien Echols on there doing Mr. Crowley magic himself. It's a trip. The show's a trip. You're kind of getting high as you watch the show because it's so trippy. It's this abstract changing of the perspective, which is done on purpose. It's not just for silliness. It's like Alice in Wonderland. Like as a child watching Alice in Wonderland, it's like you've got this bizarre realm where everything's twisted and upside down and on its head. It's to change the perspective of the viewer to allow room for the message to get in. So, in conclusion, is Duncan Trussell Illuminate confirm? I don't know. Seems like a funny dude. And my man Sam Tripoli vouches for him, so I will take that and run with it. As you know, I haven't done Tinfoil Hat in a minute. I'm scheduled to get in there this summer. We're going to try to do it this summer. I'm the biggest honor of my lifetime. In 2020, I was voted in on Sam's Mount Rushmore of guests. Big deal to me. I will take that to my... In fact, I'm putting it on my tombstone right now. I'm ordering my tombstone and my coffin on Amazon. I mean, it's really fascinating. You can buy a coffin on Amazon and get it prime delivered. Save thousands of dollars. It's a free plug for Amazon coffins, I guess. Anyway, Sam's buddies with him, apparently. And, you know, I don't know. He seems like a good dude. I don't think there's anything wrong with these Buddhist philosophies. Now, when you start dipping into the magic stuff, it gets a little dicier. If you want to take it from the Christian viewpoint, which, you know, in the Bible it tells you not to eat meat, basically, even. But they tell you, don't mess with this stuff. Don't mess with the divination tools, the witchcraft, the astrology. It says you don't do none of that. So to the Christians, Duncan Trussell might be Illuminate confirmed. Now, his website, if you go to Duncan Trussell's website, because he's got a podcast, he has the eight-pointed chaos star right on there. So he's for sure knowledgeable about the occult and magic. He's interviewed Mitch Horowitz many times. Mitch Horowitz, an unabashed occultist, very knowledgeable on the subject. Damien Eccles, the same. And I've talked to Sam Tripoli about this on a show, about how I think the occult is, you know, it's kind of like this white magic, black magic thing. Like, not all the occult concepts are bad. But, like, on the same hand, like, if you ask a hardcore Christian, they would say, no, they're all bad. All of it is meant to take you away from the spiritual path to God. But I personally am kind of like, I don't know. I think God gives us tools that we should use to try to keep ourselves mentally clear. Well, I'm supposed to be like Opus Dei and whipping myself in the back every time I'm feeling shame about something. And if you ask me, I think Duncan Trussell would be on the white magic side of the house. I don't know. Maybe I'm biased on that. But yeah, you see all the symbols on the show. You see the Saturnian cubes. You see the Ouroboros of the snake eating its own tail. The triangles. The all-seeing eyes. Kabbalistic tree of life. You see everything. And I'm fascinated by all these ideas. But I am very cautious about using and propagating these symbols because the magicians like Eliphas Levi himself talks about how they take on a force of their own. And that's always kind of stuck with me. But ultimately, I would say, sure, there's probably some good in a lot of these ideas. A lot of good. I mean, does it feel better or worse to look at some of these concepts? Mindful meditation? The Buddhist philosophies? Opening your heart, being vulnerable? I mean, how can you knock that? I've been looking at these sort of things and incorporating elements of them for years. The Buddhism practices, I mean, not the magic, right? I don't do the ritual magic stuff. Like, I pray and give thanks to God, and that's about the extent of it. Now, is it heretical as a Christian to use Buddhist practices of mindful meditation to try to remove some of these traumatic stories of living on this planet in this experience? I don't think so, but look, I'm not a theologian, nor am I a good Christian. I would guess that, like, if Christianity is your path, maybe it's not advisable. However, to me, I'm kind of like, God gave us a brain. And, you know, he created this world and this realm. And we're susceptible to damage and traumas. And, like, I don't know. It's up to us to navigate the world and the sin that encompasses the world. It's kind of like science. God gives us these tools. You do your best with it. In some ways, the heresy is to say you can't just rely on prayer to fix everything, I guess, is what I'm saying here. So I get that. But at what point does God want us to sort of like quit, you know, wishing for things to happen and do some work? I don't know. So I'm always like of the camp, but you do both. You ask God in prayer, you give you gratitude for the experience that you've got. Then you try to do your own work, try to come to your own conclusions, your own understanding of the world and how to navigate it. Try to stay on the right path. I mean, anything could take you off your path. So there you go. I hope you enjoyed that. That was the breakdown I promised you for a year now of Midnight Gospel, the series. What can I ask you to do now? What are the things? Well, you can support the show if you've got the resources. If you don't, that's cool too. I enjoy you listening. Thank you. Thank you for your support. You can leave a review, leave a rating if you don't have the funds to support the show. That helps me out. Thank you. Thank you for listening. If you want to support, you know, I've got three platforms. Links are in the show notes. Rockfin.com/creator/Isaac. You get access to like all my shows. I do like an exclusive show over there. You can do patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher, which is a really good system for me. I can communicate with you guys directly. I can, you know, like I've given out free promo codes there for my Audible books. Or you can go directly to IlluminatiWatcher.com, go to the VIP section, sign up, where you'll basically, you know, on all the platforms, you'll get the ad-free content. You'll get the bonus shows that I do. And I've got, you know, four tiers now. That fourth tier, you could be on the show yourself, Conspiracy Considerations. All right, my friends. Thank you for your time. And until next time, you know what you got to do. Stay woke.